Hoyer underneath center. Cameron splits out wide left. Second and goal. They throw it for Cameron in the end zone. Touchdown! They did it again.
Number 5 on the year for Jordan Cameron.
It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci, and it is time for the roundtable, joined by Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. And this roundtable is brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. I love this Rosewood Grill, and right now the weather's getting a little cold. And you know what? You can go there, sit by the fire pit. The Browns are hot. The fire pit is hot at Rosewood Grill. Great drinks, great steaks, great. They got the French dip. They got with the roast beef.
Yep.
And I know you like that roast beef. Au jus.
I love the au jus.
Who doesn't? The sushi shots.
You spill it all over the place, but that's okay.
Absolutely.
And the sushi shots, we've had it all.
You got to go out there. Trust us. You'll thank us later. Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. And now, gentlemen, two in a row for the Cleveland Browns. They're going on a little bit of a streak here, winning, beating a tough Cincinnati Bengals team at home. Your thoughts on the effort and the performance of the defense, Brian Hoyer, everybody. Let's get right on into it. What a win for the Browns.
Just what we expected. I mean, right?
Totally.
Yeah, bring in, you know, a team that's touted as the top in the AFC North, and the Browns just dust them. You know, what else is new? So, yeah, very refreshing. I mean, a great performance all the way around. Truly a team effort. I can't say enough about Brian Hoyer. I thought the game plan, once again, suited his strengths perfectly. I thought, you know, them getting him into a role early on and building that confidence with 9 straight completions. We saw screen passes yesterday that I don't think we've seen here in about 15 years. Very imaginative on offense. The running game finally opened up down the stretch, and you can't say enough about this Browns defense. I mean, the job that Joe Hayden did yesterday on A.J. Green was remarkable, and they have to have one of the top run-stuffing fronts that there is.
Doug, yeah, this defense, we're going to talk a lot about Brian Hoyer, but as you look at this defense, and let's put some historical perspective to it. When do you remember a defense kind of playing like this for the Browns? It's been a while, man.
No, it has been a while. But, you know, you talk about the team aspect, Tom was, and I think, you know, there's other components to it. The offense had those 2 long drives because we were down some defensive players yesterday, Billy Wynn and Jabal. So you wanted to keep them fresh. You didn't have the rotation. So those long drives really helped them. You know, the special teams were good yesterday, too, other than, you know, Cundiff missing a couple kicks, and that has to be corrected. But I think, you know, you look at the offensive side, there was a team yesterday, Cincinnati had 51 sacks last year. They were 3rd in the league. They kind of kept them out. It gave a good pocket for Brian Hoyer, who, you know, utilized his weapons. The game plan, as you said, was creative. And, you know, it was just a good team football win. And, you know, it as far as the defense, you know, we talked about Joe Hayden shutting down A.J. Green, but they were doing different things to motion A.J. across the formation so somebody else would have him. So there were times when Chris Owens would have him. And then when they lined him up in the slot, Buster Screen would have him. So, you know, it wasn't just you know, Joe there. It was the whole secondary, mm-hmm. you know, keeping the clamps on him.
And you talk about the secondary. Buster Screen targeted 7 times in the game, only allowed 1 catch for 6 yards, 3 pass defense, an interception, easily the best game of his career. You know, he started to build at the end of last game, a couple key breakups against Greg Jennings in the end zone. Tom, can Buster keep it going? Because if he can, what are teams going to do against this Browns
D? They have to hope so, and good for Buster. I mean, a guy who's really taken kind of a beating by some fans and been criticized, you know, throughout his career so far. So, yeah, a nice job by him. And to Doug's point, I thought that secondary as a unit played very well, and, you know, with Hayden being the ringleader.
Yeah, we are, and this is the roundtable portion of the show. It is brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. We're with Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers, AP. And Tom, to the point of, you know, I wrote this thing for clevelandbrowns.com, this idea that the idea of the quarterback that we've been talking about, this franchise guy that this team might draft in 2014 that we've talked about long before the Richardson trade, in fact, that it was at least a discussion if things didn't pan out with Brandon Whedon. And, you know, I know that we've got a long way to go to settle a lot, but if you just snapshot with these 2 games, and if that mythical guy, whoever player X is, franchise quarterback X is, who's still in college, were to be the guy that did what Brian Hoyer did the past two weeks, what would we be saying?
What would we be doing? You'd be raving about him. I mean, number six has been unbelievable the last 2 weeks. He's done exactly what they've asked him to do. You know, comes back after a three-interception game. Dusts those off, by the way, during the Vikings game. You know, shows the composure to forget about the mistakes and move on. Comes out yesterday. Does not have a turnover. Shows once again great pocket presence. You know, that play where he moved out of the pocket and somehow got the ball out to Rainey, where it looked like a sack and a real key part of the game, I thought was one of the bigger plays of the day. Showed some real nice touch on some balls. That the one he threw to Cameron over the middle that turned into a 31-yard gain was a terrific throw. Both the throws at the goal line were right on the money, where they needed to be. He's showing leadership qualities. You know, I talked to several defensive players after the game yesterday who said Hoyer was the guy who was on the bench running around, kind of slapping everybody on the butt, saying, let's go and finish this thing off. So, yeah, to your point, Vic, I mean, if you talked about this, and I think we forget, too, that Brian Hoyer is only 27 years old. And while this was only his third NFL start, he does have 5 years in the league. So, yeah, nothing but kudos to him.
And he is one of the things that I like that he's doing is he's featuring his biggest weapons. Josh Gordon is back. He is a difference maker. Jordan Cameron is playing as well as any tight end in the NFL, including Jimmy Graham. And he goes to those guys. 21 of the 38 pass attempts were to those two guys. In the first week, more than half of the pass attempts, again, were to those two guys. Talk about just your take on Gordon, Cameron, and really how good this passing attack can be. And just really, you know, a lot of times you get a third-string guy and he comes in and he throws to the guys he's used to playing with in practice, some of the backups, you know, the third receiver, et cetera. He's coming out and saying, listen, these are our guys, and try and stop us.
You know, he doesn't have the big arm that, you know, maybe Brandon does or some of the other quarterbacks, but he's got a very accurate arm. And I think, you know, the throws that he's thrown Jordan in the end zone a couple times have been just – the only guy who was going to catch it was Jordan. And you know, the receivers have helped him too, because that was, we talked about, Jordan made a great catch, but also the one that Gordon made where he went over.
Ridiculous. Yeah,
I mean,
that was ridiculous.
And it just, you know, and a lot of, you know, success in football is about timing too. And, you know, when we played Minnesota, we got a little break there. Their top cornerback, Cook, went down. Then we played yesterday, you know, Hall and Reggie Nelson were out. But, hey, that happens to everybody. Right. So when you get that opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. And that's what Brian Hoyer has done. He's been very opportunistic in regards to, you know, what he's done.
What does it say that Rob Chudzinski doesn't want to make any kind of declaration that he's the guy? We found out today that Brandon Whedon is healthy. Rob said that. He's cleared to come back and play with the natural qualifier that, hey, let's see how he practices before determining what his status, if he is going to be the backup, the number two for Thursday night, because a short week, all that. But he just doesn't want to go there yet. Is that saying something about Hoyer's, again, the status coming from number three to this number one job, and let's just see a little more before because everyone else is convinced. Every social media response we get is, duh, he's going to be the guy. You're not going to bench him, or you're not going to, you know, replace him.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a roll, and the Browns certainly aren't going to be the ones who are going to stop it. So I think it may say more about Rob Chudzinski as a coach, Vic, in that, you know, he wants accountability on a week-to-week basis. And while, yeah, you're playing well, let's see it again. So I don't think it's really an indictment on anything about Brian Hoyer. I think it's more about, hey, we're trying to build something here. You got something going. He's not going to make, you know, huge declarations because, to your point, I mean, we're only a quarter of the way through the season. Things have changed. I mean, as Nathan said earlier, I mean, they're 2-2. This isn't the path that you expected them to get there, but they are 2-2, and I think Rob just wants to let it go.
But it doesn't feel like the team that we saw. No, I know, not just because of the record, but it doesn't feel like what we were looking at for those first 2 weeks or even the preseason for that matter.
Well, you know, getting back to what your original question about not naming the, you know, what Brandon Whedon's status, you know, it's a competitive thing. You want to keep everybody competitive. You want to keep them in the thing. You know, much like when they were talking about Brandon Whedon and Jason Campbell, you know, he says, you know, well, he's going to start. You know, he didn't make it to the clerks. And I think that competition thing, you know, keeps the fire under everybody's feet. And that's the way, you know, sometimes you succeed and, you know, make somebody get a little bit more out of them.
Yeah. This defense. And I just want to go back to it because, you know, you get that comment from Adrian Peterson's daughter and yeah, that's funny. I don't think anybody wants to come play this Cleveland Browns defense anymore because they are so physical up front. And I thought the tone was set on the very first play of the game when they tried to run it right up the middle. And Phil Taylor just busted the lineup and crushed Ben Jarvis Green Ellis immediately. And the Browns are just playing so tough up front, and then you have the speed of Mingo, who continues to impress. He's got to refine some things, but in terms of just the raw ability to get to the quarterback, he has that already, 3 sacks in 3 games.
There is definitely an edge to those guys up front, isn't there? I mean, as much
I like it.
Yeah, as much as I didn't like the head slap that Phil Taylor gave Ray Rice a few weeks ago, I thought it was, you know, it was good for the moment. It was like, hey, we're not going to be pushed around by you guys anymore. So it begins with those guys. Ruben is playing at a high level. You know, they did miss Sheard yesterday, but then, you know, we see Barkevious Mingo with a chance. As Doug talked about, opportunities. Boy, he's making the most of every single snap he's out there.
He is, and you talked about how it looks a little bit different than the first two games. I think defensively, they start to have a little confidence in the offense. That picks up there. Not, and they played great the first two games, but you have almost a unity that I think might not have been there, per se, in the first two games, where there's some confidence that the offense can move the ball. Hoyer's doing that. And Josh Gordon coming back changes absolutely everything. If Brian Hoyer had to go back there without Josh Gordon against good defenses, I don't think it would look so good either.
Well, you go back to when Eric Mangini was here. You know, he was a combination between the scholar athlete, the choir boys, and things like that, and the golden age home that he brought in, and it just didn't work.
Mesh.
Yeah, and you know, and then all of a sudden they flipped the roster for a couple years, and you got a bunch of guys that are tough football players, and you know, the football's a tough game, and you know, and if you don't rise to the challenge, I mean, they got some attitude there. You know, Ruben doesn't say squat, but I tell you what, he plays so hard, and it's been infectious, because now you see Phil Taylor doing the same thing. And, you know, then you bring in Bryant, you know, and all of a sudden you got some guys up there, and Jabal Sheard, and another guy that didn't even play yesterday, Billy Wynn. Billy Wynn's got an attitude to him, too. And John
Hughes. And so does Groves.
And, yeah, and Groves. And John Hughes, you know, everybody said, well, what a bad pick. But this kid's played two pretty good games back-to-back.
And when you start to look at both sides of the ball, and we talked about this in the preseason, you know, you can identify four or five guys now on both sides of the ball who are real, real legitimate players. I mean, potential Pro Bowl type players, and this franchise has not had that for more than a decade.
Not at all, and that's a big deal. And here's the other thing about attitude, Doug. And I'm so glad you went there with the attitude and it emanating from the defense. I think we've underestimated how it impacted the players. All this discussion of a couple of weeks back that this team was tanking the season. And remember, that criticism we know was directed toward down the hall here, toward Joe Banner, toward Michael Lombardi, toward the decision-making body of this team. Maybe Jimmy Haslam, too, as an owner, that their scheme, their blueprint, their plan was 2013, forget about it. Making references to Jimmy Haslam saying, I know at the league meetings, I know we're not going to be a 13-3 team, right? So, and running with that, which was taking it so out of context. He was not trashing the season when he said that. He was being realistic. But here's what we underestimated. The players got really ticked off about this. The players hated hearing this tanking the season business. And I'm going to give you a quote from Joe Hayden about this. He says, we're not giving up. We're not giving up at all. He said, I mean, that actually motivated us. People thinking we gave in on the season. Trent was a great, great player. Great person. Great teammate. But once we lose a person, I mean, you've still got 52 other people that are ballers and are ready to make plays. He says, we've got JG, Josh Gordon. He says, we got JG back. We've got Hoyer stepping up. And we know we have a really good team. Those first two games, we could have easily won two. He said, we just feel like we just want to keep pushing, keep trying. That, I think there's a fire burning, and it's
you
and
can
it's
see
on the
it.
Defensive
it's on the
side.
Field.
Well, I mean, the fire is you're tired of losing. I mean, this team has, you know, not won a lot, more than five games over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And no ball player wants to go to work. You know, I mean, I'm sure guys were happy to be. They were probably here early today because the atmosphere and everything, it's fun. And they haven't realized how much fun this town is when you really win. Because, I mean, you get a song written about you. You know, there's just a lot of different things. But it was, you know, the other thing was nice was, they did it on Legends Weekend, where, you know, it always seems that we
yes.
lost.
Yeah, and let's, you know what, you brought that up, and you saw me yesterday and said to make sure I bring this up with you, and I want to. So the Legends Weekend, two former Browns greats honored posthumously. One was Galen Fiss, and the other was Abe Gibron. And those who might hear that name and recognize it more as the coach and the NFL Films thing that followed him when he was coach of the Bears, that's the right. big belly yeah. guy singing Jeremiah was a bullfrog and all the way through. Doug, you got a little story about
it. You know, and it's funny how your paths crossed, but, you know, when I was in college, I was scouted by Lou Groza. But anyhow, I got drafted by the Browns, so, you know, I come out to talk about a contract. And one day, there was a guy that you had played for the Bears that had a campus bar that I used to mistake for the library. So I got to know him. I got to know him pretty good, Stan Wallace. And Stan calls me up one day, and he says, come on down. I want to talk to you. So I went down to the bar, and you know, they forced me in there. And here sitting at the bar stool was Abe Gibron. Yeah. And he introduces me. And Abe was the coach of the Bears. And Abe goes, you got a contract, kid? And I go, no, give me a beer. And so I says, what'd they offer you? Give me another beer. Okay. Well, what do you want? Hey, give me another beer. So, okay. Well, tell me you want this, this, and this. Are you going to get an agent? Give me another beer. And it was so simple, but that was Abe. I mean, Abe was just a beautiful guy. And, you know, he told me, he says, if anything ever, you know, happens to you, you know, hey, you know, let me know. I'll give you a shout out to Bears. Well, you know, they cut me to put me on the practice squad so they wouldn't have to move this fourth-round pick. So, anyhow... But the Browns told me, hey, you know, we want you right here. So, you know, I see Abe at that game up in South Bend where we're playing the Bears. And, you know, we're going coming down the tunnel. And, you know, I see Gale Sayers, who's retired. And then I see Brian Piccolo, who's dead. And I'm going, wow, this is really neat. And they're filming part of the Brian song, B-roll there. And Abe runs into me and says, hey, you know, I told you. I said, no, Abe, they told me I was okay. but he remembered. And that tells That's you, awesome. You, know, that, you know, he's just a great guy.
Well, it worked out great, obviously, for the Browns. That you are here and had your career and are still going strong with this team in the announcer's booth. It had to be such a fun day for you, man. You and Jimmy Donovan on the call. We could continue this thing, but I know especially our buddy here, Tom Withers, AP. He's got another team to worry about.
Yeah, there's
the
another one in town that's
you
playing.
Know,
okay.
Congratulations to those guys.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
You compete against the other teams to be the team, but when one of the other teams has success, you better enjoy it too.
Absolutely.
And you know, back them.
It's a fun time to be a Clevelander, to be in Northeast Ohio.
Yes, it is. It's great.
All right.
Well, appreciate you guys stopping by for the Rosewood Grill Roundtable. Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Check it out. Again, we were joined by Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from the AP. More to come here on Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When we return, we'll hear from the head coach, Rob Chudzinski. Gerard Cherry also due up on the show today. And we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Let's get some barks from the dog pound, some dog collars, as it were, on a Victory Monday here on ESPN 850 WKNR.